Well, this is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, as you probably know if you ever listen to this show. We are coming up to, this is episode 92. It's a solo podcast. It'll be a short one for a few reasons, one of which is I'm very tired. Two is I've got to get to bed because it's very late. It's about 1 a.m. 1:10. And I got a long day ahead of me tomorrow. The third reason, and probably the most important, is I was running around so much today, other than about 2.5 pots of coffee, my sole nutrition of the day consisted of throwing some pretty questionable tuna fish that we had in the refrigerator into a couple of corn tortillas on my way out to the garage to record this. So I am not sure if you have ever eaten borderline tuna, but I'm not sure that it will stay with me. So this will be a short one. The reason why I want to even plug in and record tonight is, as I've discussed this a few times on this podcast, the show isn't necessarily for your enjoyment. I hope you do get a little enjoyment out of it. I sure get some fun out of talking to folks, but every once in a while I throw these little solo ones in, and one of the reasons I do so is because the main gist of this podcast is some self-discipline for myself. I need some structure in my life, and this is one way I do it, by setting myself a deadline of producing at least one of these every week. So this is this week's. It's going to be me by myself in the garage, updating you on a few things, most importantly, letting you know that this and a few future podcasts will be brought to you by Big Daddy E's Barbecue in Chino Valley. Big Daddy's is a fantastic place to eat, and good folks that are working there. You can find out about Big Daddy's at Big Daddy E's. That's Big Daddy with a YES.com. BigDaddyE's.com. They are located at 380 Butterfield Road in Chino Valley, or by phone 928-515-2344. Again, 928-515-2344. Butterfield Road in Chino Valley, right behind the Chase Bank. Eric Vernier, the owner of Big Daddy's and the man behind the grill and the smoke, is a good friend of mine and a good friend of the show, who is making sure we are well taken care of whenever we are there. We record there periodically, including in an upcoming, let's say, Friday, June 17th, we'll be there. The one we're recording there on the 17th, it'll be with myself and Sky Conwell. We're hoping to get Les Lyman there as well, the musical folks that that introduced me to music and musicians in the area, and talk about them on our mics. We're there because Sky is the one that books the music for Big Daddy's. They have live music there every Friday evening from about 4:30 to about 6:30 for a couple hours there on Fridays during the spring and summer months. And Sky Conwell is booking some great musicians there, including, and I'm going to get this name, I might butcher it here, let me pull it up, because I'm not familiar with these guys, but or this guy, Fred Mitchum, who is one of the former, current, I don't know, we'll find out about Fred Mitchum on the 17th when we talk to him. So show up at Big Daddy's, we'll be there about noon. Again, Big Daddy E's Barbecue with myself, Sky, and Fred Mitchum. Fred is a member of the 13th Floor Elevators, a band I was not and still not familiar with. So I will educate myself about them. I'm going to play a little here. Can you hear it? It is a psychedelic type of music. I'm going to have to educate myself about these guys, because when Sky was able to book them, he was very excited about it. Les Lyman, also very excited about it. And I looked at him and says, I don't know who the 13th floor elevators are. How are they described? Wikipedia describes the 13th floor elevators as an American rock band from Austin, Texas, formed by guitarist and vocalist Rocky Erickson, electric jug player Tommy Hall, and guitarist Stacy Sutherland. Existed in the late 60s from 65 to 69, and then they reincorporated several times. They were the subject of a 2005 documentary, You're Gonna Miss Me, and they have had their troubles, their foils with drugs and substances. They have gone through several members. Let's see, Rocky Erickson, Tommy Hall, Danny Thomas, not the Danny Thomas, not Make Room for Daddy, I'm sure, John Ike Walton, Duke Davis, and Fred Mitchum on guitar and vocals. We're going to sit down and talk to Fred Mitchum because he is scheduled to play at Big Daddy's himself in a solo gig sometime in July. So to preview that and to educate me, because I'm a knucklehead on the 13th floor elevators, Sky and hopefully Les and Fred will walk me through what it is I am missing. Again, we're going to be recording at Big Daddy E's Barbecue on Butterfield Road in Chino Valley on Friday, June 17th at noon with Fred Mitchum. And that, again, is to promote and to plug his show, which is coming sometime in July. Now, Sky Conwell books all those. P.K. Gregory will be playing that Friday, the 17th, after we record. And they've got Sky's got a full list of folks coming and going all summer long, Fridays, starting at about 4 or 4:30 p.m., at Big Daddy E. So check them out for some great music as well as some great barbecue. There. All right. The ad's over. I'm looking forward to this. I got to drop through the rabbit hole of 13th floor elevator YouTube channels and learn a little bit more about Fred and his cohorts. Some of the names listed as far as influences and associates of the 13th floor elevators are the Allman Brothers, ZZ Top, a bunch of other folks in there. So Google them, check them out on Wiki, and again, that's the 13th floor elevators with Fred Mitchum. That's who we'll be talking with on June 17th at 12 noon at Big Daddy E's Barbecue. Now, this is one of the reasons I'm doing this kind of late tonight is over the past couple of weeks, I have really severely adjusted my schedule because I am, as a lot of you know, I'm the father of a 6-year-old son, and I am not even close to being the age of most of the parents that he goes to school with. So all his other classmates, his other classmates' parents are all in their 20s or early 30s, and I am not. I am the age of some of the grandparents that pick up their kids. Well, my little guy is on summer vacation. This is his first ever summer vacation, so we're trying to make the most out of it. We are planning some little day adventures, and unfortunately, I do have to drag him along to a few jobs with me, including one or two this week. But for the most part, I have been trying to take the daytime off, which means I do a lot of my work at night and on weekends when he gets to spend time with his mommy, which is great because for the first couple of years, 3 or 4 years of his life, I was at work working 2+ full-time jobs, and now I am reevaluating what I do to make ends meet, and a lot of that has to do with me spending time with him, which I am thoroughly enjoying. I hope he's enjoying it. I want to get as much time with that little 6-year-old monkey as I can before he grows to hate me, which he will probably do as soon as he hits his teen years, because Because that's what teenagers do. They end up hating their parents. So I want to get as much quality time in as I can in the meantime. Part of that is it involves us taking some vacations, which we've done in the past, in this past year, more than we had recently or previously. And this past weekend, we took a nice little three-night vacation, kind of on the spur of the moment. We've got another biggie coming up in a month or so where we're going to, that's going to be a working vacation because I'm going to do some podcasts on the road. But this past weekend was just vacation. Some of you may know this about me. I've talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but in my off mic life, a lot of you know, I don't really take vacations. I have a hard time unplugging and separating from work for a lot of reasons, a lot of issues that I have trouble with. I don't want to say I'm a workaholic. I don't think that captures it because that gives the impression that I actually get things done and that I'm productive, and I'm not that. I find a comfort zone, and for me, it's work, and I kind of delve into that and lock myself into that, and I have a hard time not working. So when we do go away, which we do quite a bit, typically it's when I'm working out of town. So like say, just for instance, say I got a job on a Saturday in Phoenix or Nevada. We've several times to California, a lot into the Phoenix Valley, a couple times a year into Nevada. Where I'll book jobs, what I'll do is say I got a job on either Friday or a Saturday. We'll go out a day or so early, have a little fun. I'll go to work at night or for the day, and then we stay another night or another day, and then we come home. So it's our vacations are actually working vacations. We very rarely, and it's been about 10 years since we've actually gone away, gone somewhere that wasn't built around a job. It wasn't built around an assignment. And this weekend we did just that. We booked a room for 3 nights in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, right at Lake Havasu, and didn't work. Was very, very seldom on the phone the whole weekend. I don't think I was on the internet at all. I posted one or two Instagram pictures. But for the most part, the phone stayed in the room when we went down to the lake. We didn't do much but lounge around and go to the grocery store, grab a little food, pack it in a cooler, and hang out on the beach at Lake Havasu's London Bridge Park, and had a ball. I had just an incredible time. One of the ways that I was able to really unplug is on Thursday when we left, I left a little early. You might say this kind of defeats the purpose of a family vacation, but there was a little method to my madness. If I'm near the phone and it rings, I almost always pick it up. I can't do that when I'm on two wheels. So what I did as a way to kind of force myself not to work is I changed my voicemail on my phone saying I'd be gone for 4 days or so, turned off my phone, put it in a backpack, jumped on my motorcycle at about 1:30, 2 o'clock on Thursday, and took off for that 3-hour-plus ride from our home to Lake Havasu. Then in the afternoon, my wife and son loaded up the van and they headed out and met me. So I was out there for a couple hours just napping in the hotel room before they got there, parked the bike, and did the same thing on the way home Sunday. I took a little detour, cruised through Route 66 a little bit, between Kingman and Seligman, and just cruised around a little bit. And that's one way that I am able to unplug, because I have no other distractions. I'm not on the phone, can't hear anything. I just hear the wind and stuff through where my hair used to be, and enjoy the road. And that was a lot of fun. But in between those two lengthy 3+ hour trips to and from, we had 3 days of lounging around Lake Havasu. It was a great time. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it was a great time to spend floating around the water with my son. Now, there is a couple of things wrong with hanging out at Lake Havasu when it was 105, 110 degrees up there. This is one way you know you're just turning into an old guy, when you're turning into an old man. Years ago, there was a time when I'd be hanging out at a beach or at a lake or at a river, and you would see young ladies walking around in various states of undress, and certain thoughts would pop into your head. Now, as a admitted old man, I sit there and I'm watching this young lady wearing what, how do you describe it? It was as if her top was as if somebody got a plate of spaghetti and threw it at her, and the noodles just kind of stuck wherever they would and were hanging there. That's what her top looked like. Her bottom, the bottom portion of her, I'm assuming was a bathing suit, could best be described as, I don't know, as an eye patch, maybe. I think she was wearing an eye patch for a bathing suit bottom. And, the only thoughts that were coming through my mind were that looks painful. It looks like it hurts to wear. That's when you know you are turning into an old man. When you look at a string bikini and all you can think of is that looks like it hurts. That looks like it pinches. That does not look comfortable. Several hours a day of sitting on the beach, and all I can think of was, boy, it's hot. I'm glad I'm in the water. And then falling asleep while I was floating around. That's when you know you are turning into an old man, when you just enjoy sleeping in the daytime as opposed to looking at young 20 somethings running around wearing spaghetti. So that's what this old man did. I had some challenges trying to keep up with a six-year-old. Like I said, most people with six-year-olds are much younger than me, so I was an old man running around with a six-year-old in the intense heat, and I had to explain to him, like I said, because when you reach a certain girth, a certain body mass, you float pretty well. So I can just kind of lay back and float in a body of water, and I did. I floated and I fell asleep as I was floating until I was awakened by water splashing in my face and a little 6-year-old boy laughing loudly as he was drowning his father, not knowing I was actually drowning. I had to explain to him that splashing is fun if two people are splashing. If only one person is splashing and there are two people involved, it's only fun for the one person. The example I gave him was it's like playing catch. If two people are playing catch, that's a game. If two people are involved, but only one person is playing catch, it's not so much a game as it is one person throwing an object at another person's head, and that's not necessarily fun. So trying to incorporate life lessons as you're lounging on the beach is a fun activity for an old man and his young son. Another example of me realizing what an old man I have become is came about on the way home. As I was riding my trusty Kawasaki down the I-40, I stopped in Seligman at a truck stop at a gas station to gas up and get in the shade for a little bit. Like I said, it was extremely warm, and so I was sitting on the planter box outside of a gas station truck stop. And drinking my Gatorade, my Powerade, actually. It wasn't a Gatorade. Drinking and rehydrating. I glanced up and I saw a young lady walking out of her car, getting out of her car, which was at a gas pump. And she was wearing, I'm trying to explain this, I couldn't tell if it was a short dress, loose-fitting dress, or a long shirt. But as she was walking towards me, she was, I don't know, in her 20s, I guess. Attractive young lady. But it was distracting because I'm looking, trying not to look, but, you know, observing. That's what I am. I'm an observer. And, that's what I do as a profession. So, you know, I was working again. It was on my weekend off, but I was working. As she was walking towards where I was sitting to go in the door of the gas station, it became apparent that it looked like that was the only thing she was wearing, if you get my drift. She was in the shadows, so I couldn't really tell. I was trying not to look, so I started reading my Powerade bottle as she walked past, and out of the corner of my eye, I said, you know, I think that's all she's wearing is this very short dress blowing in the wind or a very long shirt. I couldn't tell, but it was kind of see-through, and I started to realize, 25, 30 years ago, I might have had other thoughts, but all I kept thinking is, that's got to hurt. Those seats are hot. That can't be comfortable. So I got up and I went over to my bike and packed up the backpack I have on the sissy bar and, put my wallet away and, getting my, wiping off my sunglasses and getting my helmet ready. And as I'm doing that, I look up and she's walking out of the gas station now with the sun shining through what I can only guess is a short skirt or a short dress or a long shirt. And I know I was right. That was all she was wearing. And I mean, that was all she was wearing. If there was any doubt about it, it became clear that was all she was wearing as she proceeded to adjust her car seat and pick something up off the other seat. I don't know. She was leaning over into the car, and the wind was blowing. And yes, it was very evident that was all she was wearing. And then she got in her car, and she shut the door and she started driving away, and she drove right past me. And as I noticed the Enterprise rental car emblem on the trunk, and I noticed the Enterprise rental car license plate frame, again, stressing that I am an old man, well past his prime, the only thing I can think of is I hope I never rent that car because they would need to burn the seats, I think, is what needed to be done with that vehicle. So Enterprise folks, get yourself some bleach, get yourself some Purell and dip that whole car in a big vat of Purell and Clorox bleach, because there are some odd things happening in the 105 degree Arizona sun on your vinyl seats, Enterprise folks. And that was my trip home. I did lose actually at that gas station. I lost my Visa ATM card. I didn't realize it until I got home that it was not in my wallet. So I went to the good folks at my bank and this morning and explained to them that I had lost my card. They did verify the last place it was used was at that gas station. So they canceled it out, gave me a new one. So what are they now, Arizona State Credit Union or 1AZ or AZ1 or whatever they call themselves, were able to issue me my card right then and there. And I am the proud owner of a brand new ATM card attached to a bank account that is nearly empty. So that I don't understand how people, a lot of people are worried about identity theft, and quite frankly, nobody wants mine. They would inherit nothing but debt. They would get nothing. They would benefit nothing by purging out my account. There is virtually nothing in it. So if anybody finds that card, it's dead. It's canceled. It is of no use to anyone. And I don't know what I did with it. So somewhere on the I-40 is a card attached to an empty bank account. What else do we got coming up? We are looking forward to the grand opening of Far From Folsom. As of the recording of this on Monday, tomorrow, or I guess actually today, the owners of Far From Folsom, the former Coyote Joe's, former Brick and Bones, now named Far From Folsom, a Johnny Cash tribute bar and grill, will be applying for their liquor license through the city of Prescott, and we hope that they get that paperwork taken care of soon, because I personally am looking forward to recording in there as soon as they open up. They were scheduled to open up a week or two ago and had to shelve that. Sky Conwell, leader of the Sky Daddy and the Pop Rocks, and also 99 Years, a Johnny Cash tribute band, and guest host of this show periodically. Sky is really looking forward, because his 99 Years band will be hopefully featured there at Far From Folsom, because they do a nice tribute to Johnny Cash. Check out Sky and his group at 99yearsband.com. That is a Squarespace website, so check it out. Again, Sky Conwell and 99 Years Band at 99yearsband.com. There's links to their social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook right there on the website. So check them out. We look forward to setting up mics at Far From Folsom very soon. So looking forward to that. And again, Big Daddy E's Barbecue, found at BigDaddyE's.com. There is also a Big Daddy E's Barbecue on Facebook. Check them out and come see us on Friday, June 17th at noon, when Sky and myself and hopefully Les Lyman will be sitting down with Fred Mitchum and talking about the music scene and talking about Fred Mitchum's performance at Big Daddy E's sometime in July. The biggest thing we hope you take out of the Mile High Show is support your local artists, support your local music, support those venues that support the artists and musicians. That's about it. Like I said, this podcast I put up almost entirely as self-therapy, a chance for me to talk to different folks, entertainers, newsmakers, and such when possible, and educate myself. And then on days like today, when it's just a time for me to vent make sure I hit my personal goals of putting out one of these episodes every week. And that's what this one was, episode 92. Hope you made it through. Are you still there? Hope you made it through to the end. Check us out on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And on iTunes, give us a little rating and a review. We don't even care if it's a good one. If you don't like the show, let us know. Let us know what we can do to make it better. That's about all I got. That's my Monday. You guys have a good week. We look forward to seeing you at Big Daddy E's on Friday, June 17th at noon. Make them silver tassels.